Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter.
Oh my god, I'm scared!
Scared of what? The fishing zone?
Yeah, there's like rods and reels, and there's line, there's fish.
None of those things are scary.
They're not scary.
Not at all.
Oh,
those
okay.
Things are awesome.
Alright, well, I feel better now. Robert, do you feel better?
Yeah, I feel a lot better. I'm going to sleep well tonight.
Yeah, I'm just not sure anything's going to make Josh feel better.
Well, no, but I'm not going to feel fearful about it either.
Okay, so you're not feeling quite up to snuff, but you're not afraid.
I'm going to maintain my even keel is what I'm going to do.
And you keep it between the navigational beacons. Okay. I get it. All right. Yeah. I keep telling you, old music is better music.
We're such idiots.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. And that brings us to the area fishing report, which you can see on the place-by-place fishing report on fishingfranks.com. Which you know that because otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this because the only place you can hear the darn thing. All right. My chair ain't going to lock into place. All right. I was trying to hold on. I was looking for my seatbelt, shoulder straps, Peace River system.
Flooding out.
Really?
Well, yeah, Horse Creek's going to hit flood stage tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to get pretty sporty there for the next couple days. The only thing I would get from my guess is if it really does pump that hard, that there is a good chance that the tilapia and armored catfish will get pushed down with that first initial wake. And from the reports I got today of the lack of tarpon in the harbor, I think some of them might be boogieing up there on the other side of the 75 bridge, maybe meet some of those fish on their way down.
Okay. So that seems reasonable.
Be about my only theory. I mean, there was a few fish in the harbor today. There was some over some other places that we'll get to, but like virtually none in the last 2 days. You know, they just kind of boogied. There's just a few peppers here and there.
All right.
Well, it is weird how much they love those armored catfish, though. Yeah. Those brown hoplo catfish, you know, they just seem like something that nobody would be interested in eating. And yet the snook and the tarpon seem to be eating them by preference.
So do the redfish. They've even caught some redfish up there that have been ingesting them.
What about, you know, blue crabs? They got that real weird shell on them and all that. It's real hard, but it could be because of the shells and stuff, I think blue crabs got a lot of calcium or something in it. You know what I mean? It could be actually a pretty healthy snack, that armored catfish.
It's like a salt lick.
It's a salt lick. Salt lick of the river.
Lick. A little mineral tablet.
Well, the weird thing is the bass don't seem to like them at all. They have no interest in them.
Okay.
But
I don't think bass get as big as the snook and the tarpon, though.
Well, bass has a pretty big mouth. And, I mean, I've kept bass maybe a couple pounds in a fish tank with some of those small armored catfish and lots of other things. Everything else disappears. The armored cats stay.
All right, I get you. All right, Darst, I-75, anything?
I've got nothing.
No, we didn't get up that far today either.
Okay. I guess that takes us around to 41. What's going on in 41?
That depends on who you talk to. Austin zeroed out last night, all night.
Right.
Which is unusual for him. And I've heard of a couple of small trout. I've heard of a couple of whiting. And one small bull shark all off the bridge itself.
We saw a couple schools of what looked like jacks, might have been ladyfish, but pretty sure they were jacks today. Not big schools and very skittish. If you tried to approach, they just basically sunk.
Could also be skipjacks or those. This is when we have this flooding, we get a lot of those big river shads come down.
Yeah.
And, I mean, these things are like 8, 10, 12 inches long, and they boil in the water kind of between the look of a jack and a school of bait fish. They're not as, you know, rain look as what the bait fish would be, mm-hmm. but they're not as vicious as the jacks would be, but they're kind of in between that. and they're great big freshwater shad, and as soon as you net them, they die. I mean, instantaneous. Put the net on them.
All of them, they're dead in the deck.
They're dead before they hit the deck. They do not take cast net at all, and I've never been able to catch them on sabiki, but back years ago doing charters, I used to run into those all the time in the spring floods, and they're just big, huge. They look like they'd be perfect bait, because they're anywhere from 4 inches to 10, 12 inches long, and you're thinking, oh my God, this is awesome, and nothing. Literally nothing.
Well, these were definitely predators. They were sending little bait fish into the water.
Out of the water?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so anyway, we'll meander on down to Lashley Park.
I've got nothing there.
And we're waiting for Captain Josh Olive, our fish coach.
I wish I had something to tell you.
All right. So, I don't know why, but that didn't... supposed to have all been the same color, and then it switched on me. All right. Try and color code each report.
Make it pink.
Yeah, I could probably do that. All right. Oh, I guess I do this. Question marks. I ain't got nothing for Lashley either, so I don't know. Takes us over to Bayshore Pier.
I've heard of one bull shark being cut off of there. And I still don't know if it's technically legally open. I haven't driven by there to really check, because a couple guys have told me that it's still technically closed, but people are going out on it.
Yeah, I think it's closed, and I did have a couple people tell me the same thing, that they didn't see anything wrong, so they were going out there.
Yeah, that's just the way kind of all that works out. Just for anybody's general knowledge, if you need some work done around your house, Chuck is off for a few days. He's got a few extra days. You can only have him except one of those days, because I got to get him out and help me fix that. I had to disassemble all the rain gutter when we had to tear, Chuck and I tore the whole front of the house apart, and had to rebuild all the columns and put everything in so we could put the storm shutters up. And... but we forgot one little piece, and I'm not doing it. I'm having Chuck do it, because it's right where you walk in, and that's what everybody's going to see.
I gotcha.
I want Chuck to make that happen. That's yeah. Chuck's Custom Carpentry, 941-235-1557. 941-235-1557. There's a little thing on the fishing report about that. Okay.
Well, you can do it yourself, and then Chuck could do it.
Well, that's what it would be, is I would put it up, then Chuck would take it back off and put it up correctly. Yeah. So, all right, Port Charlotte Canals.
Well, a lot of little peanut snook. And there has been some nice black drum going through. Getting a lot of mixed...
vicious, mean black drunk. Black drunks.
Savage.
Savage.
Did you type black drunks? Don't put that in the report.
Big black drums. All right.
There's also been a lot of good reports on sand brim. Is that your drum impersonation?
That's the big black drums.
Nice.
That's the little red drums.
Josh, we can edit this part out, can't we? We can take this part out. Not a problem.
Okay. So what else is going on in the canals? These mean, vicious, big black drum, which we're not allowed to say anything else about. So that's okay.
Sand brim.
Sand brim.
Yeah, getting a lot of reports of sand brim.
Yeah, this is the time of year when people start sending me pictures of sand brim asking what they've just caught. And most of the time they let them go, because they have no idea what they had.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a good thing.
It is. It's a wonderful thing that people...
better than, hey,
say,
hey, what is this
what
in my
I
cooler?
Get?
Oh, wait a minute. That's supposed to be 4 feet long, not two.
Yeah. Oops.
Or, yeah.
So, oh, baby snook have stripes too, huh? Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's kind of nice to actually, when people actually do the right thing.
Yep.
So anything else going on in the canals?
Still some juvenile tarpon over there in East Spring Lake. Had a couple guys say they even saw some over in West Spring Lake. So there's still some fish around, and all the little baby snapper you want. You know, that 7 to like 10 or 11 inches.
And how many do you want?
Whatever you feel like putting in your fish tank at the house.
Illegal! No, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I'm done with keeping illegal fish. Yeah. I don't do that
I'm
anymore.
Glad you got over that. That's... I've got so many... so many things I want to say to that, you know.
I will be...
Anyway, here we go. El Jobini Pier.
It's been pretty quiet there, too. I mean, I have not heard much other than a couple of small snook, and some guys have been seeing some juvenile tarpon at first light, but that's all I've got, unfortunately.
We had a bunch of tarpon up there this morning. We parked underneath the bridge on the Inglewood side, and we watched some people who were anchored down there at the corner catching mangrove snapper after mangrove snapper on live shrimp. They were good-sized fish. I mean, they weren't huge, but they looked like they were getting 12, 13-inch fish, and they were getting one every 3 to 5 minutes, that size, along with some smaller ones they were putting back. And we definitely had tarpon around us underneath there. Weren't too interested in hitting anything, but you could watch the little guys rolling, and we saw a few larger ones just on the downtide side, downriver side of the bridge. Also just coming up and rolling, not really doing much, just being lazy, being tarpon.
All right. Now, if you're wondering, and I'm sure you are, this has got you by in the edge of your seat, because right now you're going to find out, why was Captain Josh Olive out on the water looking at people catching fish and seeing tarpon rolling? Josh, the answer to these and other questions are...
I had a fish coach trip today.
Oh, you had a fish coach trip. You
yes,
were out as...
I was out fish coaching this morning. Gotcha. And the folks had just recently bought a very nice boat up at Ingman Marine, and they wanted to learn a little bit about the upper half of the harbor. So we went and we checked out a bunch of areas, showed them some places where they could get their boat, which were much shallower than they thought they'd be able to get that thing. It's a 26-foot Pathfinder.
Actually, it runs fairly
it
shallow
does. It
for
runs
a 26-foot boat.
Yeah. It really does, and it floats even shallower than that. And they've got it rigged up right to float shallow. So we went and explored some places. Didn't do a whole lot of fishing. Mostly just did some exploring.
Okay. All right. Which takes us to the Mac River area. What's going on in the Mac River area?
There's a lot of snook. Jeez. A lot of snook up inside the cutoff there. Most of them are small. And then there has been a few trout even in there. And those have been real far and few between. But they've been actually like a little better sized. And then I had a couple gentlemen say they got a couple of 20-inch redfish back in there.
All up in the cutoff?
Yeah. And they fished the whole thing. They said it was pretty slow and hard fishing. But they actually caught fish. So it made it worth their time and effort. And they got to fish a couple new spots in there because they said the water was so high in the morning when they went out.
Anything in the river itself?
There was tarpon there last week, but they've all kind of about scattered.
All the bigger ones. I mean, there's a handful of them around, like there were at El Jobin, but there's still fair numbers of the smaller ones up there.
Towards the mouth of the river?
Yeah. Well, up there and up past the that first set of canals.
Right.
Most people who are seeing them in there probably don't really know what they're looking at, because these are mostly not big fish. Small rolling tarpon is very easy to mistake for something else.
Yeah.
But the guys who actually know what little rolling tarpon are have been going up there, and they've been targeting them with flies, catching a few, missing a lot, and generally acting like fly fishermen.
Okay. Alright, let me fix the smelling on this, and that one's fixed, so that will take us to South Gulf Cove.
Hey, we fished South Gulf Cove today.
That's where your clients were from,
yeah,
weren't
they? And we hooked a fish in South Gulf Cove.
All right.
It was a tarpon.
Okay.
And it ate a trolled twitch stick. And it was on for 3 seconds.
All right.
Throw the hook or
yeah, threw the hook just right away. Jumped and threw the hook. But there were actually a fairly good number of those little tarpon in there. I kept pointing out to them what the difference was between the tarpon coming up and rolling and the mullet coming up and jumping, which they had no clue that there was any difference between those things. They thought everything they were seeing at the surface was mullet. So when you actually are taking the time to look at every single little swirl, you start realizing, hey, wait a minute, there's a lot of little tarpon up here.
And it's a lot like trying to read. When I first started working in Europe, obviously could not do anything in German, but after a while I learned to read in German. I never learned to write, but I mean, I could actually, you know, like one word or something. I couldn't write a sentence, but I could speak in German and I could actually read it. And it, looking at the stuff in the water is like reading another language. You have to learn what the symbols mean, you know. And thank God I've never tried to had to read any of the Asian languages,
right?
You know, because that's truly picture graph.
Yeah, try Thai sometime.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, but I have no idea what they're saying.
No, I mean, it's picture graphs, it's hieroglyphics. And if you don't understand what the symbols mean, you don't understand it. And it's the same thing when you're looking at things in the water. Once you understand this swirl means this, that's this, this is that, you begin to see fish have, you know, mullet like to go all the way around the circle, tarpon like to go over in a roll, snook like to pop, you know, ladyfish touch the water like a freshwater trout, leave dimple rings. You know, there's a lot of different things. But once you get to know them, you can understand the language, you can read that language, and then all of a sudden, you know, you go on to get better and better at it.
Which is why I'm also confident in saying that we drove past some bass popping at the surface down around the lily pad areas.
Very well could have been.
They were.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I can see that back in there.
All right. West wall. West wall.
Some scattered trout on the outside of the bar. And then a few pompano also. And then along the bushes, pretty much some small snook, the occasional redfish. Overall, I have no idea where the bonnet heads went to that were over there last week.
They went south.
Probably. I know they're scattered all over the place out there right now, but last week I had several reports of them there and nothing.
There are juvenile tarpon out there too.
This would be so much easier if I didn't make so many mistakes when I type. One of these days, I'm going to put you back here, and Josh, and let you just type all this stuff out.
Have you considered a finger transplant?
Are you willing to loan me a couple of years? I see you type pretty well.
There's got to be some dead secretaries or something.
Dead secretaries?
Some fingers from them that know how to
everybody
type.
Anybody know out there, you got any dead secretaries I could get lop some fingers off of, get me a better typing skill going on here? Dead secretaries, that's what I want to have.
Maybe take the whole hand transplant. Lady fingers would look weird on your man hands.
Okay.
Next.
Yeah, I'm really trying to go next, but I can't scroll down fast enough. And I tried 6 times to type the word Spanish, and I spelled it wrong 6 times. I gave up. Okay. All right, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. How did I miss Cape Hayes? Oh, no, Cape Hayes. That's what's next. Okay. Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes.
It's all you giggles.
That's...
No, don't do it! Don't do it!
That's where a lot of the bonnet heads went to. They just kept going south till they hit that point.
Okay. That's about what I've heard, but not that many, but enough that are fishable without a doubt.
All right. And
then there's been a few trout out there mixed in with them and some ladyfish. And the red tide pretty much thinned out anywhere in that area. I haven't heard of much at all. Guys are starting to talk about some of the bait fish and seeing some just activity of life in that area once you get past Cape Hayes. So.
Yeah, quite a bit of it. It seems like a lot of the fish that had been bottled up in the harbor have decided that they're moving south. So heading out more towards the intercoastal. Turtle, bull, that's going to be first stop. So, of course, to get there, you have to go past Cape Hayes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would start looking in that area. Right there from Cape Hayes out. Start seeing it get a little bit more activity, especially since it really hasn't been touched for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Might be an interesting spot.
Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
I got zero.
Got some pompano inside Turtle. There in that real deep cut right at the entrance. There's also been a lot of mullet schooling around in that area. and had a guy telling me he was fishing chunks of cut bait in there like I've told him to do, and he caught a couple redfish, not anything amazing, 21, 22 inches, but he was real happy to have caught his first two redfish of the year.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people just aren't finding any redfish. But what are you doing, Robert?
Writing a note.
Got stereo answers. You gonna pass this to Josh?
Nope.
He's gonna pass it to you.
Nope. Just
show it. Tell him how to spell Spanish.
All right, we've got notes here. Robert's keeping them secret. We're not allowed to know what they are.
It's a note for Robert for later.
It's my thought process.
Grocery list.
No, that's easy.
It could be. There's no telling what he's making notes about. You know, you're thinking like along normal human terms.
Right.
All right, Cape Hayes and Danger Reef.
That I honestly haven't heard anything about.
Yeah. Not out of danger now.
Okay. And
unfortunately.
That's going to take us over to Gasparilla Sound. Now that the red tide has moved down, anything there?
The bait fish are starting to move back in there. Some trout and ladyfish are starting to move around in there. That's kind of about all I've gotten this past several days. People are still a little leery, so they're going down there and just kind of scouting. I have a feeling there's a couple guys that are probably really whacking the fish, but are keeping it to themselves because you only get those couple of quiet days before people catch on and go,
right,
red tide is gone, we need to move back in there, yay!
Yeah, okay, 1,000 boats show up tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a guy telling me he was catching some S-P-A-N-I-S-H mackerel.
Kings?
Yeah, kings. I was going to spell spinach just to mess with him, but
S-P-A-N-S-I-H?
I-S-H. Spanshy?
No, that's not right either.
S-P-N-I-S-H.
Span, for all those out there trying to read the thing, that means Spanish.
You know, it's acceptable to call him Spanny Max. You can do that. Can you type Spanny?
I just went to Span.
S-P-M.
Yeah. Spanny Max. All right. Which is kind of what they taste like after about a night in a freezer. All right. Placida Pier / Trestle still burned down. Last thing I heard was about 4 to 5 weeks from now.
Approximately August 8th is the completion date.
Approximately. In case they have rain days and stuff like that,
sure,
that they don't account
all
for.
All of those kinds of things. Or, you know, if somebody burns it down again.
Yeah.
All right, Lemon Bay. Somebody said they were out by Stump Pass and started coughing out there, but I think there's still a lot of little scattered pockets of red tide.
Yeah, there still is.
I just talked to one of our captains, well, one of the captains who writes for Waterline, who does a lot of fishing in Lemon Bay, and he said...
Who's on?
Van Hubbard.
Oh, Van.
Yep, and Van.
Crazy old Van.
Crazy old Van says that Lemon Bay is pretty clean and clear. He said he just drove through Stump Pass with
you
a little bait.
You gotta love him to death, but man, that guy is out there. But you gotta love Van. There's nobody like Van Hubbard.
Hey, why do you think I got Van Rain for me?
Yeah.
Because there's nobody like Van.
There really isn't. I mean, you can love him, hate him, whatever, but I've gotten along with him pretty darn well for probably close to 30 years. You know, we've had our ups and downs, but it's Van, and it's kind of like, people say I'm the local color. Well, there's a few of them out there that are way more colorful than me.
Well, you're part of the local color.
You were off keel.
Yeah, I was for a second. I almost
saw
fell
you
over, but we weren't going to talk about it until, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, well.
Look, the important thing is, and this is worth mentioning now that you've brought it up, I almost died, and I kept the conversation going. You didn't hear any or nothing like that. I just kept talking about the things we were talking about. That's even keel professionalism is what that is.
Yes, I know.
S-P-I-N-A-C-H, mackerel.
Oh, man. That hurts. It really does.
What were we talking about? Van says Lemon Bay is clean.
When Josh is sitting in a chair and you hear...
Nobody heard that. There wasn't anything. Nobody would have known if you hadn't brought it up. What you need is a splashing sound effect. That's what you need.
Well, you know,
falling overboard.
Sputnik.
Oh, well, okay, I'm ready.
I don't know why I do these.
Aren't you glad you said, hey, I want to come and do this here?
I don't remember saying, hey, I want to come and do this. I remember somebody saying, hey, you really should come and do this. There we go.
Whoa, wow, that hurt.
It's a hard splash.
Okay. Scary CK, okay. Yep. All right, Lemon Bay, by the way, we're talking about.
Well, I've got nothing, to be honest. I mean, people are apprehensive because of the red tide. I know it's thinned out because a few people have told me it's thinned out.
I heard the red tide had cleared out from over there. Somebody told me that. I don't remember who.
Was it Van Hubbard?
Definitely it was Van Hubbard, yes. Write it down.
Okay.
Not saying it again.
And what was he catching anyway?
Well, he was just driving through. He had had a nearshore trip.
He had a nearshore experience.
He had a nearshore experience, and since he
I can't believe that one,
since he felt there was no red tide,
nearshore experience yesterday. I was sitting there and I'm looking. It looked just like I was standing there.
He put some bait in the well, drove back in through the pass, drove around through the bay, and the bait survived. So he said,
"So
it's all clean,
in other words,
it's
question
all clean. Marks.
Right.
Doesn't appear to be any red tide. There may or may not be any fish." And he said some of the snook had moved back in over at Stump Pass Marina. Underneath the shrimp tank.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. You have to, you know, I mean, you know, it was a pretty easy question.
Our ego postal.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
Shoulders changed directions, got all tense.
All I've got
up.
Is a pocket knife, so I'm not going to get very far.
Pliers?
Probably get farther with these fish hooks.
Maybe.
No, wait, I got scissors.
This is what happens when you give Josh scissors. Okay. Back to the Gulf of Mexico. We were talking about the Gulf of Mexico. I know we were.
Well,
I saw
now
we
that
were.
Robert's not here anymore, I guess it's just you and me. So, Gulf of Mexico. I heard from somebody who writes for Waterline and who we were just talking about a minute ago that the redmouth grunts were biting pretty well out there.
What? Really?
Now that sounds like a full-blown local cracker name to me.
Redmouth grunts, okay, G-R-U-N-T-S, are hitting. The big Q-U-E-S question is, W-H-A-T apostrophe, what's a redmouth grunt?
Just put W-T-H.
Or F. What? Depends what level you want to go with.
I
Either
was trying
one
to
works.
Keep it relatively calm.
All I said was a letter. Settle down.
All right. What's a red mouth grunt?
You know, it's those little grunts with the red mouths. I'm assuming it's Tom Tates.
Okay. Little French or grunts or whatever they
Key
are.
Key West grunt.
Key West grunts. All right. Yeah, is there?
It's a grunt.
There is a ton of small red grouper. One of the
good guys
was that was actually good grunt. That was pretty okay. It's really scared
out
of
stuff.
I'm going to go back and find that. That's going to become one of my sound clips.
Would you like a clean one? You're shut up for a second. No.
Oh, definitely going in the sound catalog. Okay. Tons of red grouper.
You want me to squeal like a pig next? I'm not doing it.
No. No.
Not on a
Okay.
Okay, so you were saying tons of small red grouper
going all sorts of fun directions.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
We don't even have rails anymore.
It corners like it's on rails. Yeah, we threw the rails away. All right. Lot of little red grouper out there, tons of them. They couldn't even get the snapper bite to go because I think they were I think he said he was on either Mary's or Powerpole, but they couldn't get past the little red group.
Now, here's the fun part. Talking to somebody who's been doing a lot of fishing out there in the Gulf over the past several weeks, he goes near, he goes far, he goes all over the place. He's got a whole bunch of spots out there that he's done a really good job of cultivating himself. So he's not fishing public reefs. He's telling me the same thing about those red grouper being out there, but he said it's such a weird scattering of fish. He said they got a spot 9 miles out. They caught a 26 and a 27-inch red grouper on them. He went out to some deeper spots figuring, man, if we've got red grouper that size in that close, imagine the huge 40-inch plus red grouper that are going to be out here at my spot, you know, my spots that I've got 50, 60, 70 miles out. So he's going out there. He's coming back in with red snapper, but the red grouper that they're catching out there are 14 inches long.
That's kind of what the same thing the guy told me. They went out deep, looking in their deeper water stuff, and couldn't find anything. Came back into the real close reefs, and they were there. Mahi-mahis. We're hearing tons of stories of mahi.
Yeah, a lot of sightings, handful of catches, all sorts of sizes, from little tiny peanuts all the way up to like 7-9 pounds. Pretty not.
And most of those that are reporting but not catching are just not prepared for them. I think people keep not believing us when we tell them you have to be ready for these mahi out there. You know, throw them a handful of cut something. Get them feeding. You know, a chopped up sardine is great. Chopped up shrimp is fine. Chopped up squid, it works. Get something in the water out there in front of those fish. And if you don't have any of that, then throw some kind of a lure or a bait in front of them and try to hook one.
You're not going to find weed lines and stuff. The guys finding them are literally the guys anchored for grouper, drifting, where the boat's just kind of sitting
the
there.
The boat is the weed line.
And they're coming up for the shade of the boat. If you get a flat, calm day, and there is a lot of big mahi out there. Somebody was saying, well, this is the most mahi ever heard of. I said, no. I can remember years where the mahi were so thick they were in Boca Grande Pass, all the way on out as far as you could go. But there were little tiny ones. I mean, literally 10, 12-inch, 15-inch fish. And some of these are 6, 10-pounders.
And I think the really weird thing about this year is that we're seeing some larger fish.
The biggest mahi season we've ever had for as far as big fish. Good numbers and bigger sizes. I've never heard of this many nice size mahi caught on the Gulf of Mexico side here.
Yep. Other cool random stuff out there. Still catching a few king mackerel. K-I-N-G mackerel. Guys catching some little tuna or bonita, whatever you want to call them. A handful of sailfish reports still coming
in. Doesn't like it when I spell cool with a K.
Cool.
Bonita.
Cool.
And you said bonita and what else? Kings. Okay. Took me a long time to come up with cool.
That was like a weird Winnie the Pooh kind of thing that you just did. I'm not sure about that. That was
Winnie the Pooh? It's not Winnie
with
the
your
Pooh.
Cool.
Cool whip. Whip.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool whip. A lot about it.
Yeah. What was the kid's name? I forget, but yeah.
Christopher Robin.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I could see him.
It's not Christopher freaking Robin.
What is it?
It's Stewie from Family Guy.
Oh.
It's got nothing to do with Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
Okay.
Whip.
Okay.
You're younger than us. You have to remember that.
I know.
Okay.
Mom.
Mama. See, Robert knows.
Only because I have a sister that has children that had to share that with me multiple different times.
It's definitely not a children's show.
Doesn't matter.
It's supposed to be.
No, it's definitely not. It's not supposed to be.
Okay. Oh, God, I messed that up.
Want to talk about more Gulf stuff while he tries to figure things out? We could. What would you like to discuss? Would you like to discuss the giant lane snapper that have been out there?
Giant lane snapper. We could also talk about that the red tide is dissipating, especially as you work your way north significantly because of the permit that are starting to show back up out there and a couple cobia, barracuda, some bonita and Spanish in as close as 8 miles. So, a little mixed bag of stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's a good report. I like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, the red snapper.
Yeah. At 140 feet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you almost said miles.
I almost
They're probably
did.
There, too.
They're probably there, too.
If you want to drop that deep.
Hey, some guys have actually been running out there like 110 miles. I'm like...
I've talked to some people who are using electric reels out there and doing pretty well with it.
Yeah.
if you want to go to those links. I don't think it's quite necessary, but hey, you can, just to say that you did.
I guess.
Yes.
As long as the season's open, closes on the 20th.
Actually, true enough.
Get them while they're hot.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people keep asking me, is there going to be a weekend season this year after that? No, there's not going to be a weekend season. It's, they gave you
done.
40 days.
40 days and 40 nights. That's it. It's over.
Smoke them while you got them. Enjoy them while you can. Okay. Why are you staring at me like that? I don't understand what you want. Don't look into my soul. Cut it out.
Yes. I'm going... Oh, God, I can't do that. Okay. Anyway,
we gave him all that Venice. Time, and he still wasn't ready.
No, I'm ready, but I was going to do something, but I can't. So anyway, Venice.
Venice is doing a little bit better. There was still some residual red tide up there, and still some fish floating out of the intercoastal.
As of when?
Day before yesterday.
The last report I had was yesterday, and somebody said that he went up there, and he was planning to fish the jetties, and he turned around and went right back. Couldn't even get out of his car in the parking lot.
Okay.
No.
Reeked of red tide, reeked of dead fish, couldn't do it.
Okay. Stump pass.
Got nothing.
Van says there's no red tide in it.
Okay.
I'm going to go back. I did hear about a report on Facebook of some people who were up there, and they were hanging out on the sandbar, and they wanted to know what all those silverfish with the stripes were down their sides. They literally had no clue.
Okay. So
there were some snook up there in the ski rag alley area.
All right, and then I got to back this up. Okay, snook. And so now, little Gasparilla.
I haven't heard anything.
Oh, yeah, I've got nothing.
Can't we just call it Gasparilla Pass, though?
We can call it Gasparilla Pass. Okay, Boca.
Tiger Shark.
Yeah, Tiger Shark.
Tiger Shark?
FWC officer in here earlier.
Tiger Shark.
Yeah. Got to get about... FWC thinks it was 6-7 foot. The guy was telling him it was 8 foot. But
so probably like 4 foot?
It was a nice tiger shark. No, this FWC guy is pretty sharp.
Any tiger shark is a nice tiger shark. Mm-hmm. And for my money, the smaller the better. That's when they're pretty looking.
Okay.
I'll agree with that.
Exactly. If I'm going to catch a tiger shark, I want to catch one about 3 feet long.
I want to catch him about 5.
Well, okay. That's fine.
All right. Redfish Pass.
Let's go.
Still big enough to hug.
Want to take your boat?
Sure.
Ooh, Robert's got a boat. Forgot.
Mine's floating before yours is. How's that make you feel?
I'm holding a very sharp fish hook in my hand, Robert.
Sorry.
Are you sure?
Like I'm plunging you with the back end of these pliers.
I don't know between... I think Josh's boat might be one of the few that's actually bigger than yours, but...
It's genetics.
You would have to literally hold them up to see. It's a monster.
I'm gonna put a bowsprit on mine so it'll be longer.
You're gonna put a bowsprit on yours? Okay. All right. I ain't spelling that, so let's go to Captiva Pass.
Red tide is moving in heavier down there. There's a pretty good sized bloom from there down to the north end of Sanibel as of 2 days ago, but it might be gone now because it did it the other way.
It could be. The fun thing about that is that all the red tide reports were on the outside and in the passes. The inside was not so bad.
Okay.
So the guys who were fishing literally the inside shoreline of the barrier island were not having those effects. They were smelling a little bit of the red tide, but that was it. And they didn't have any in the water.
All right. What about Redfish Pass?
I've got nothing.
Redfish Pass had some red tide in it.
Okay. Then that's going to take us down to Ponorasa.
I honestly have not had anything at Ponorasa.
We're blanking, man. We're blanking. All right.
Okay. So now, is there a good place to walk the beach where you the least likely place to find red tide?
Daytona.
Would you go north or south?
I'd work my way north. I would definitely work my way north. And that's actually something we forgot to mention, too, out there, just on the offshore part of it, was the tarpon that are on the beaches, especially as you get your way from Gasparilla north. Heard some pretty good reports of them being up there towards, Stump Pass and north of Stump Pass.
Okay. And how far out?
That was me trying to spell how to find likely.
Seven to 9 miles.
Yeah, that's the
40 feet of water.
You tell people tarpon on the beaches, they're thinking a mile off.
Yeah.
No. Not so well, much.
Trying to remember that when we get to the tarpon report.
Okay. We probably will.
Okay. Sanibel, what's going on down there?
Well, I've got nothing other than the guy went down there 3 days ago and he said he got some sniffles and saw some catfish that were starting to die.
Yeah, there was red tide reported on the outside, but again on the inside, not so much of a problem.
Yeah, so I honestly don't have a good answer for that one.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to know all of this stuff, Josh.
I don't know all the things. Listen, if I knew all the things, then I wouldn't be sitting here hanging out with you guys. I would find people to pay me for the answers to all the things.
All right, we'll work on that on the next show. Now, coming up after this, Life with Dr. Bill, a study in the fish coach, Josh Olive. Caloosahatchee River, folks.
Nothing.
Algae.
It's got a lot of algae floating out of it. A lot of brown water. And explain to me this blue-green algae, Mr. Peabody.
What would you like to know?
Is it actually toxic, like, to consume fish that have been swimming in it?
Depends on the level of how much blue-green algae you're talking about. And it's important to remember that although we call it blue-green algae, it's really not an algae. It is more closely related to bacteria. The better term for it is cyanobacteria. So
cyanobacteria.
It does have chlorophyll in it. It does derive energy from sunlight like algae do. It looks kind of like algae to most of us. It's not really an algae. It's cyanobacteria.
Is that kind of what the red tide is then?
No. Red tide is a dinoflagellate. It's not really an algae. It does have chlorophyll in it. It does derive energy from sunlight, but it also is like an animal in that it has a small whip-like tail called a flagellum, which is why they're called dinoflagellates, and it can actually swim.
So red tide can swim.
Red tide.
It is
going to
come
swim.
Into your bedroom.
Yes.
It is going to come in. It's going to sneak. It's going to swim up into the harbor, crawl up the canal, over your seawall. It's going to be in your bedroom. Wait till you see what it does to you tonight.
Now, it's not a good swimmer. It's not like it swims fast. What it mostly does is it swims up and down in the water column, like most very small things that can swim do. It doesn't. It's not going to swim from Boca Grande Pass to the Peace River. No, it can't. Not going to do that. That'd be ridiculous. It's got a little tail.
Not in according to what I heard on CNN.
Kind of like a sperm. Think yes. About a little killer sperm out there in the water
kinda
swimming around.
Kind of makes me think of CNN again. Okay.
Whatever it makes you think of is fine by me. But these are weird organisms, and we try to put them in terms of things that make sense.
CNN.
And we all understand algae, but, you know, these things are not really algae. So if you have high levels of cyanobacteria... do you want to do this?
No. Go ahead.
If you have high levels of cyanobacteria, yes... It is toxic. It produces toxins in the water. Those toxins can be transmitted to fish. They can be transmitted to shellfish.
Because it is a form of bacteria.
Yes.
So The blue-green algae that you're finding on the Caloosahatchee River is a form of bacteria/algae-type substance, which...
It is a chlorophyll-containing bacteria that does not normally infect other living animals, but in high concentrations, the toxins are going to get in them to some degree.
Gotcha.
The more porous your living animal is, the worse off it's going to be. First things to get infested with it are going to be things like oysters, clams, other filter feeders. Then you're going to start to see it showing up in some of the other invertebrates, the crabs and the shrimp. The last place that you're going to see it is in the fin fish, since they have defenses against that kind of stuff. And the last fin fish that you're going to see it in are the slimiest ones, the catfish.
Right. Okay. Matt Lachey.
I like it. The reason why I was asking, though, is because I've been seeing on the negative news...
Right.
Is all these signs being posted everywhere. Don't eat the fish, contaminated, the and this and
agenda
that.
Agenda news media.
Exactly. Yes. So I just wanted to try to answer that in the proper way the because of such the propaganda with it, and I didn't know if it was accurate or not.
It can be. They never get around to the explanation part of these kinds of things. You know, they give you the soundbite version, the dumbed down version, the part that assumes that you're not intelligent enough to comprehend how things actually work, so we have to explain it in the simplest possible terms.
If you're watching CNN, there's probably reason for those assumptions.
Well, they do it on the local news, too.
It's the local news, too.
Well,
so
it's probably owned by CNN.
Yeah, it's agenda news media.
I would much rather try to explain it to people on a higher level and then have them, if they're still interested in it, go look this stuff up. You know, it sparks the conversation, it sparks the thoughts in their head, rather than just say, no, don't do that, very bad.
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting, but I still want to get to Matt Lachey.
Okay.
Are we going to take Robert's boat?
Matt Lachey is doing fairly good. Haven't heard anything from the bridges in that area, but just south and north of it, I've been hearing of some snook, a few redfish, some trout, even some juvenile tarpon swimming around there. It's at the Indian Fields.
Indian Fields.
So,
Indian Mounds.
No, that's Inglewood.
Indian Fields.
Yep. As soon as you said it, it clicked. But, yeah, that's about all I've got down there. But the fishing's been not bad at all because it hasn't really been affected by any of the red tide that I've been aware of.
Yeah, and the redfish reports have been pretty good, mostly around the oystery areas, and some of the trout reports have included some decent fish, 18, 22 inch.
It's not bad.
And that's going to take us over to Pine Island Sound.
I don't have a whole lot for down there at
all. The north end has had some red tide in it. I mean, obviously, if it's coming out of Captiva and redfish, then there's going to be some of it up in there. Mondongo had some red tide within the last couple days. The south end of the sound has mostly been okay and clear. It hasn't been quite as fishy as Matt Lachey, but all the stuff that you would find in Matt Lachey, they've been finding there.
Hearing any reports of any Spanish or tarpon moving around down there at all?
Real scattered.
Okay.
Not good numbers by any means, but the occasional fish.
I just haven't gotten a single report for down there, so I was curious. You get on your phone and hear a lot more, too, with those guys down there in St. James City and stuff.
You could call them.
Okay.
We're going to work on doing more of that. We've got to come up with a statewide fishing report show, and then we got to work on national report shows. We got a
lot of
shows.
And then an international report show.
Well, that I've got taken care of. I've already got France, Germany. I have nobody for Russia or Australia.
How about Minsk? I want to know about fishing in the Minsk.
Yes, you do.
Who?
Sean.
Sean's
got some really good contacts there.
Oh, AFW?
Yep.
In Australia.
Probably, but
where
Russia.
Were you talking? Oh, in Russia.
Russia is where you said that you didn't have anybody.
He said both. I heard him say Russia first.
Yeah.
Then he said Australia. Yeah. Okay. Then he said Transylvania.
It shouldn't be funny, but it just is. It really is. It should,
only to you, man.
It should just suck.
Only to you.
It should really be bad, but I think it's funny. Okay, anyway, we're back on Jug Creek Show's Pokelia.
Got nothing.
Red tide.
Okay.
Yeah, we got nothing, unfortunately.
Burnt store, two pines.
Snook, redfish, some good trout, a handful of pompano, and some bonnethead sharks.
And a couple of cobia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sizable ones or just swimming around chasing stuff?
Yeah, they didn't get close enough to see whether they were actually keepers or not. They thought they were big. They swore the first one was about 40 or 50 pounds, but you know what that means. It's probably 22 inches.
Right.
All right. Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor.
Some small snook. Lots of bonnetheads. Handful of trout.
And some little tarpon in the canals.
Up inside Pirate Harbor?
Yep.
Yeah, it was about the time of year for them.
Yep. Our buddy Mike Myers was up there fishing.
Was he?
Yep. Early in the morning.
Yeah.
So he's throwing a little 3-inch DOA, and he hooks a couple, gets a couple more interested, but they won't hit it. And then they shut down. They're just following it. They won't actually hit it. And I said, well, did you cut off like 3/4 of an inch off the front of it and make it into a smaller bait?
That would make sense.
Well, no, I didn't do that. Well, maybe you should try it. Well, no, I don't think so. I think that would just mess up the action. Okay, then don't try it.
I didn't have any that I could cut. They were all torn. They were on the bottom of the boat where I couldn't cut that 3/4 inch that was split up.
Mikey.
Okay, now, boys and girls, we're going to go on to Alligator Creek, and Poacher's got even the skating rink. Anybody got anything?
There's been a few trout right there at the mouth of Alligator Creek. Most of them have been small, mixed in with some ladyfish.
And big O-L-E-G-I-A-N-T, redfish by the skating rink.
Really?
Yep.
There you go.
Monster reds.
Nice.
Anything from you, Mr. Josh Olive, fish coach, publisher?
Nah.
Charter boat captain, fishing, nothing. Whatever.
Nah.
I think he wants to see how many titles he can fit on the front of his shirt.
Yeah. Radio host, newspaper, magazine, publisher.
Yeah. I already have to make the type on my business card 10 point.
Yeah.
Working on 8.
All right.
Have to give a magnifying glass with it.
Ponce de Leon. I was dealing with Cito last week. I mean, I know you can get, you know, Cito or one of the other ones or whatever, but man, those guys are awesome.
Yes, they are.
There's no question they are awesome.
They're just really nice folks.
And they do an amazing job out there of getting to people. I feel a little bit guilty for having the other one also.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to play the middle. The reason I don't have much to do with the other one, they don't come here. I see the Cito guys all the time. You know, every time I go to an event, they're always in the booth. They're talking to us. They're back and forth. And
stop me at the grocery store and BS.
Yeah, I mean, the Cito guys are just, they're always around. They're always friendly. And the other company, which is a good company, which I can't remember the name of right now, but anyway.
I can, but I'm not going to say it.
Well, you can say it. I don't mind. I'm not saying it. I don't mind, but it's just funny that, you know, I put the Cito thing up here, not because, you know, they're both good companies, let's face it. These guys are just friendly. I mean, I was just talking to the guys the other day, and they're just here all the time. I mean,
yeah.
Duh.
You know. Well, I know who I'd rather have come get me on the water, but
I honestly don't know enough about the other company to say good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Cito come and get me. But on the other hand, if they're busy with something and it's going to take 2 hours, then I can call the other guys. So,
yeah.
You know, I just
what is the name of the other company?
Towboat US.
Okay, Towboat US. You know, and I've talked to them a little bit. They seem like they're okay, but I don't know any of them.
Nope, I don't know any of them either.
That's just weird. I mean, you know, okay, guys, yes, you know, I'm supposed to be humble and all, but it's Fish and Franks here. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. We have like tens of thousands of people a year coming through the store. We talk to dozens upon dozens, hundreds of people a day. Would you at least want to come in and make friends?
Right.
Super humble, Frank. Great job of staying humble.
Yeah, well, I don't know how else to put it. I mean, forget about Fish and Frank himself. Just Fish and Frank's the place and all the guys working here and all that. You would just think they'd be in, chatting it up, having a good time, whatever. So, anyway, okay. Good move, Cito. We know all you guys. I talk about you all the time. All right. Smart move on their part. Oh, some of the grocery stores over here. They talk to us there. Okay. Ponce de Leon Park.
Some black drum, some small mangrove snapper, a couple of jacks, and that's all I got. What about you, Mr. Olive?
I've heard even less than that. Just heard about the mangrove snapper.
Yeah.
And complaints.
About?
They're all too small to keep.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why it took me so long to figure out that they migrate to the Gulf as they get bigger.
How long did it take you, Frank?
20-some years, I think. Because I don't know why, you know, I knew they went out there, but I just... Because Robert and I would say, oh, man, next year is going to be awesome on mangrove snappers because we've got 10,000 little snappers in the harbor. And, you know, we know that they go out to the Gulf eventually. They're going to go out there. But you would just think more would stay in the harbor.
Here's the really weird thing to me about mangrove snapper and lane snapper when you compare the two. The numbers of mangrove snapper versus lane snapper that we've been catching going offshore. Lane snapper, way more abundant, and they've been big, fat fish. You catch some mangrove snappers, sure, but it's usually 2-1 laying to mangrove, if not better than that. But both of those fish grow up inshore. Come inshore and fish anywhere that you find both of those fish, whether it's around the pilings, around the piers, on the grass flats, any place where you have both of them together, and you'll find 50 or 100 baby mangroves to every baby lake.
1,000.
I was going to say, I'll go 1,000.
I'll go 1,000 to 1.
There are some spots.
I don't think that the lane snappers grow up
They do. They are a grass flat dependent species. They need to be inshore to grow up. Now, they move out at a smaller size because we catch, 7-8 inch lane snapper out there on the reefs. But I do a lot of micro fishing because I like to play with little fish, because I'm weird that way. And I still, even in some spots where I reliably catch baby lane snapper every now and then, catch way more baby mangroves to baby lanes.
Now you're talking half inch, three quarter inch, two
I'm
inch
fish. I'm talking
fish
in the 2-4 inch range.
Okay.
When they are definitely still inshore fish.
All right. I don't know. Okay, PGI canals.
Lots of juvenile tarpon everywhere. And then been some pretty sizable black drum. Been hearing also of a few Jewfish / Goliaths underneath some of the docks. They've been moving around a little bit more. And then the jacks are still coming through sporadically. I'm not hearing as many consistent reports of those big guys, but still hearing of a few here and there.
I didn't hear you mention the snook. Did I get lost in my thoughts?
No, you didn't get lost in your thoughts. The only thing I've heard about has been a lot of little peanuts.
Been a lot of peanuts, but there have been some bigger ones too showing up on the lights. Now, I don't know if that's because they got chased in by red tide and that's a temporary thing. I'm guessing that they'll want to get back out to the beaches
as soon as they can.
But
that's all over.
You think?
Yeah. May and June are the months they're going to be on the beaches. By August, July is our move back up into the harbor month. Once the fresh water goes out there and all that red tide, but those snook are not going back to the beaches. They're all going to start moving up, back up where they've been. The whole thing, that's all over with. If the only time you have a late spawn like that is the ones that are just kind of hanging out and just can't get enough of the party.
Right.
You know, I don't care what species it is, human, fish, snook, whatever.
There's always somebody left at the party at 5 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, 5 a.m. Hey, hold my beer. Watch this, man. This is cool. Hey, baby. All right. I'm a Leo. I like long walks on the beach.
Now, how would you know that if you weren't there at the party at 5 a.m.?
Because I've showed up at 5 a.m. to many parties. I used to work all night. I was always the guy in the band, on stage, doing whatever, running the show, doing the show. And I didn't get to go out to join the party until after all that was over. So quite often I was there. Show up at a biker fest sometime in a three-piece white suit. Been there, done that. Got done with my show, packed all my equipment in the van, haul butt, got up there, get into the crowd, and it's all leathers and all these guys, and I walk out in one of those three-piece white suits and step out. They go, and they just start to give me grief, and I say, where's Bronx tent? Bronx? Yeah, that's what I'm here to see. So I come to camp with, and they're like, sir, excuse me, sir, just go down this way, sir. That was always the best thing about going to stuff like that. Dress up just any way you want. Say one name. And then everybody just got quiet. Sir, yes, sir.
That's life. It's all in who you know.
So, yeah. Yep. Gilcrest Pier.
One little bull shark I heard about. That's it.
I hear nothing.
Nothing at all?
No, nothing.
Okay. And Alligator Creek Reef.
A couple of Spanish mackerel.
Oh, great.
Yep.
We bobbed around on the reef today for a little bit. We marked some bait fish. We saw no activity. We did not have anything interested in their spoons.
Gotcha. The deep holes in the harbor.
We bobbed around in the deep holes in the harbor today. We marked some bait fish. We saw some tarpon roll. We had nothing interested in anything we were throwing out, nor was anybody else out there catching anything.
Now, I've had in the last week, like 8 reports of Spanish mackerel out there.
Yep. And I think that's partly because they got bottled in here by the red tide. But now that they're able to move back out where they'd much rather be, I think if the red tide allows, they'll head out more towards the intercoastal.
Could be. All right. Winding this down, bait reports. Anybody heard of anything? White bait?
Been a little bit out there, but it's been super inconsistent at the markers. Been some out there along the beach. And then a little bit down there towards Devilfish where guys are seeing some, but it's so small that the guys actually opted not to try to throw on it. So that's about all I've gotten on whitebait.
Anything, Josh?
Not whitebait, no. I'm guessing that we had threads underneath us today in the 14-foot hole, in the 20-foot holes, and out there at Alligator Creek Reef. But I have no confirmation. We made no attempt to actually catch any.
Okay. Pinfish anywhere?
Got nothing.
Okay.
Not any bigger concentrations than usual.
Ladyfish?
Nothing in concentrations, just scattered on the east side, Alligator Creek. That's about all
there's
I've heard.
There's been some outside turtle.
Okay.
Not billions of them, but enough to reasonably go catch them.
All right. That's going to take us down. Red tide, background to medium concentrations, 12 samples in Sarasota County. Charlotte County's got background to high concentrations, mostly along the beaches. I've got Lee County, background to high concentrations. Most of the high concentrations are in the Gulf. Very little inside on the ICW and stuff yet. Collier County, same thing. I will be adjusting that page. I got to go back on, get a new map. This map was from 7-1. I will get the new maps up. That's going to take us into the freshwater report. What's going on freshwater-wise?
Still kind of the same scenario as last week. A lot of guys are bass fishing, but they're putting them on sinkers and fishing them down deeper. And then they're throwing some of the soft plastics, you know, just the typical worm, the creature baits. You know, but shiners are definitely dominating it without a doubt.
Early seems to be your key on getting a good bass bite. If you're not getting out there early, then you need to look for some place that's providing thin shade, is what I call it. You don't want some place that's got real thick, heavy cover. You want some place that's got a cover, like a ceiling over the top of those fish, that you can punch a bait down through and find some fish down up underneath them.
And with all the rain we've been having, I'd be personally looking at some of the culvert pipes going underneath the roads and fishing those. Get that good water flow cranking. Sometimes it kicks up pretty good around them.
Yep. Anytime you have that water flow, it doesn't matter if it's spring, summer, winter, fall. Do not care. That's where a lot of those fish are going to concentrate to.
All right. And the dams up in Northport, I've got a couple listed on my website for you guys. A lot of crappie up there, guys. They're really just knocking the crappie dead. Literally, in more ways than one, figuratively and literally. Mostly on marabou. Yeah, whatever. Marabou. Marabou jigs. And doing great on the crappie. And I've had good crappie reports from the Everglades along 40 I-75 on some of the stops. The guys going down towards the Everglades, crossing the whatever the heck that road is across
Alligator Alley.
And literally, the only place I'm not hearing good crappie reports is Trafford, Istipoga, Okeechobee. But on all the local canals, the stuff down in the Glades, a lot of good crappie reports. And I mean, it stands to reason. They're here all year. They don't just magically appear when the water gets cold. It's just when they bunch up. But one guy...
They're not sheep's head.
Yeah, the one guy up Northport had a really nice stringer, 5-6 fish. And they were nice size. I mean, these were really good fillet-sized fish, you know, nice dinner size. They weren't
16, 17 inches. They were good.
Yeah.
You know, I have never caught an Everglades crappie.
There wasn't a lot down there a few years ago. In the last 5 years, the populations have really started picking back up.
Huh. That's really weird, because you would think with all the competition they have from the different cichlids, from the the Mayans and the Midas and the Oscars in huge numbers down there, that they wouldn't be blossoming like that.
Well, one thing that I think people don't take into account is how much forage that gives the crappie. All these other ones, yeah, it's competition, but it's also food.
Right. All those baby cichlids provide something to eat, and crappie are mostly fish eaters.
Yeah, they like eating minnows. So when you have a lot of invasive species and they have little tiny offspring, that gives those crappies something to chase down and go after, where a lot of the cichlids and stuff will eat plant or food or whatever. They have a broader eating range. But the crappies go, wow, this is good, and just chew, 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 chew.
Right. And you know, there's actually something else to that that I hadn't taken into account now that you mention it. Most of those cichlids are going to guard their offspring until they're about 1.5-2 inches long, and then they abandon them to fend for themselves. That's right about the size that they're getting to be a good meal for a crappie.
Yep.
So it keeps the little ones safe, so it gives them something bigger to feed on and bulk up.
All I can say is, seems to be working, getting really nice crappie populations in the areas where there's a lot of these invasive species. Invasive species. All right.
Can we call it a cropulation?
Just cropulation.
Crappie population. In the interest of time. For the future. Cropulation.
There's probably an interest in that, and I don't even want to speculate what it would be. All right. Where is the best place to find tarpon right now? I've got the tarpon map out. Where am I putting the red dots, which means, you know, your best bet at catching tarpon?
How big do they need to be?
I don't know. Tarpon in the harbor, not the ones in the canals.
Man, you're picky.
Yeah, the problem is the ones that are in the harbor are also almost about the same size.
It doesn't matter, just not in the canals.
I'm going to say the 20-foot holes from basically Burnt Store all the way up into the Mayaca.
14-foot hole, include that.
And then I'm also going to theorize that there's some pretty quality fish just above I-75 and in front of your place up to the power lines.
Do we permit theories on the tarpon map?
I'm not doing theories on this. Yeah.
Okay.
No. I mean, you can come up with some evidence. You have a boat. Go up there and look.
I'll get right on that. Can I leave?
Yes. I'm almost encouraging it at this point. All right. You said something about tarpon along the beaches.
Yeah. From just basically the middle of Gasparilla Island, between Gasparilla and Stump Pass, on up through to Minnesota Beach.
All right, but they're out
off the beach a little ways, 7 to 9 miles, 40 feet of water.
Okay. Right around where you lose sight of the beach.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Anything Boca Grande Pass, the intercoastal ways?
Nope.
All right, if you were going to do a 50-50 shot somewhere, where would it be?
Can he theorize?
No. You can do the white. We'll do a theory on, you know.
The 50-50. There's a chance. I'm going to go with the bridges at night because there's been a few reports, but nothing consistent.
And I'm just going to hold off on that. Okay, now here's your chance. This is, is there a chance of tarpon? You can't do chances on red dots.
Okay.
I'll give you a chance. This,
I didn't know that there was an option for a chance on there.
White dots equal a chance. That's what it says.
Ahead and theorize, Robert.
From 75 up to the turn to go over to Harbor Heights, and from that point up to at least probably the Navigator. That's where I would be looking.
In theory.
In theory.
All right, Josh, do you have anything for a chance, a shot, a guess? Where's there a chance of some tarpon?
Canals.
Okay. Bang, bang, got that done. All right.
That's it.
Pirate Harbor. If they're in the canals there at Pirate Harbor, they got to be on the outside, too.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'd go with that.
All right. I guess that's it. Let me see. Let me get this saved.
Are we done?
Almost.
Almost, not quite.
Seven.
Both of my feet are asleep.
18. Readjust them.
I did.
For the written part of the tarpon report, tarpon are out off the beaches in how many feet of water?
40 feet.
40 feet of water. Okay.
Bait busters and thread fins are still dominating it out there. And that's inside the harbor, too.
Okay, what's dominating?
Bait busters and live thread fins.
Okay, and live thread fins. How's the crab bite on any of them?
Terrible.
Okay. Anything else going on with the anything out there tarpon-wise? Any advice?
Get out there early or go out way late after the thunderstorms have passed through. You know, those fish are rolling pretty heavy at first light, and then I'm hearing about them rolling in the late afternoon once that water goes slick calm after a storm, and that's going to best your chance for finding them.
Okay.
And these fish are not bunched up super tight either. So when you see people who have gotten super excited that, oh, that boat saw a tarpon, so we're going to get up and fish right next to them, and then somebody else sees two boats together, so they go fish next to them, and pretty soon you got a flotilla of 12 boats because one person saw one tarpon. You don't need to do that. You can spread out a little bit.
Spread out a lot.
Okay. So anyway, I guess that'll pretty much winds up the fishing report. Can't think of anything else.
Nope, just be safe with these thunderstorms. Some have been pretty strong with the lightning the last couple of days. More so than normal.
Yeah.
Man, stuff I was watching the other night, sitting at a cliff, and like, hey, this looks like a Fish and Frank shark tournament. Look at this stuff. We started laughing.
All right. Well, Fish and Frank here. Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Josh Olive.
Captain Josh Olive, publisher of Waterline Weekly Magazine, host of Fish and Talk Radio, and the Fish Coach.
And the Fish Coach.
Yeah, I told you he wants titles.
Gotta get all that on a shirt.
I didn't say a word, man. I was not doing anything about at least he's got the room for it. But at least I never said it.